Hello.
Hey, Daniel, welcome to my podcast.
Hello, sir. How is everybody doing out there in the wide world of the internet?
Everybody's doing pretty good. Fortunately, one of my neighbors passed away. His funeral was today. Sad day, but kind of was coming, and it just reminds me of the brief life we have here on this earth. It's long, but it has come to an end. Anyway,
True.
changing topics to a more pleasant topic. You are my special guest on my podcast today, and I would like to interview you about Bethesda. It's my understanding that in addition to having the New Vegas Platinum, the Fallout New Vegas Platinum trophy, that you also have several other trophies from Fallout New Vegas, and you bought several Bethesda titles yourself, so you're pretty familiar with Bethesda, I would think. Could you please tell me and my listeners out there about your Bethesda games experience, please?
Well, I've been playing the Bethesda Softworks games since way back in ancient times. My first game that I ever played by Bethesda Softworks was Daggerfall. And though I never finished it, it always held a special place in my heart. One of the biggest things I remember about that was the first Daedric artifact I got was Merun's Razor, which is the special Daedric item that's associated with Merun's Dagon. He's one of the 13 Daedric princes in that little universe. And every time I get a new Elder Scrolls game, that's usually the first Daedric artifact I try to get, because it's kind of become a tradition for me right now. And I hadn't played a Fallout game before, but true story, ladies and gentlemen, our host, Seth Holland here, he had been hounding me for over a month to try out a new IP that I had never even heard of called Fallout. And this was the second Fallout game created by Bethesda Studios after they had originally bought it out from, I believe, the previous, let's see, yeah, the previous publisher for Fallout, that is Fallout 1 and 2, was Interplay. And Bethesda Softworks bought the entire set of rights to it and the franchise. And at first, I was kind of skeptical when I looked at it, but I finally gave in. I figured, well, I'll just play for a little while just to humor him. And, well, when I looked away from my screen, I said, "Is that the sun? Oh my God, I am late for work." That is the first time I have ever done that. And it is the first time in years that I have had such a long and such a fun
Daniel, still there?
Yes, I'm
Oh,
still here.
great.
For some
All
reason,
right.
the app keeps cutting off. Well,
Okay.
anyway, as I was saying before my technology interrupted me, I've been a huge fan of the Fallout franchise ever since. I love the lore, the whole 1950s industrial era, futuristic style theme that it has, and the characters. I've gone on whole tirades and even written a couple of short stories just on the Fallout franchise. And it took me a grand total of 3 years and one day to get all of the trophies for Fallout New Vegas. Fallout New
Wow.
Vegas is still my all-time favorite Fallout game, and I still play it from time to time.
Cool.
I even gave myself a Nuzlocke challenge to get the final trophy, that is the hardcore trophy. I played the game on hardcore mode, and I restricted myself to only using pistols and wearing clothing items. And if you like to hurt yourself, that's the way to do it. I died so many times, it felt like I was playing. And it didn't feel like I was playing a Fallout game. It felt like I was playing Dark Souls. And by the time we got to the ending credits, where you go through what happens to Mojave after your exploits, I was crying.
Wow.
But it was just so much fun. It was insanely hard, but I loved it. I loved every moment of it. Then later on, a couple of years later, we see Fallout 4 come out. And
Right.
this made and somewhat broke me. Bethesda had promised that they were going to use a new engine to power this new game of Fallout 4. At the, I think it was the 2015 PAX, Todd Howard said that Fallout 4 will be running on an altered version of the same excuse me, on the same engine that they used to make Skyrim. But ultimately that didn't happen. They stuck with the Gamebryo engine, the same engine that was used to make Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas. And that was a huge mistake, in my opinion, because it's the reason why I call Bethesda Bug Thesda, because it's chock full of bugs and messy code. And that's been part of why the, what is it? Why the mod community has grown to the extent that it has, because there are whole groups of people that have made their living just on fixing the bugs that are in the Gamebryo engine and uploading
Hold on just a
these.
minute, Dale. I'm going to cut you off just a minute. Could you explain for our listeners what some of the bugs would be?
Oh, absolutely. Some of the bugs include texture hashes. There's been some scrambling, frequent crashes of the game. You name it, there it's probably there. And the Gamebryo engine is just, it's a hot mess, let me tell you. They seem to have ironed out a lot of the bugs, but even more of them popped up later on as you get further and further into the game. Like when a vertibird blows up, maybe the propeller will stay in the air and it'll look like it's dropping leaflet pamphlets. I posted that on my Facebook channel and I got quite a few laughs from that. And now this latest failure, and I will call it failure, Fallout 76. They're using the same engine, and it's essentially a copy and paste of Fallout 4. And though I originally wouldn't have minded that problem, the mod community has been completely shut out. People who have tried to fix bugs in the game, like the lever action rifles reload animation, which is still bugged in both games even now. When people tried to fix that, they were permanently banned from the game. So Bethesda has lost a lot of fanfare with me, to say the very least.
Right. Well, do you think it might be like one of the reasons that Bethesda, I mean, I agree that Bethesda went too far in banning people just simply to try to fix a bug, but do you think though that Bethesda, one of the reasons that Bethesda might have done this, right or wrong, is maybe they sensed perhaps that someone was trying to gain an unfair advantage over someone else, and so therefore to quote unquote make sure the playing field was level, they prevented someone from fixing a legitimate issue and they could have handled it better.
I, for one, think that they should either get a new engine or hire some of these people to help fix the problem. They could
Right.
possibly offer a small stipend reward for fixes and patches, and they could even review the patches before they're included in the game. I
Right.
think that that would have been the most fair way to have handled the situation.
Right. They, what I would say though is, they might want to apologize to those people who are trying to fix legitimate errors and say, hey, we're sorry for what we did. We're gonna unban you, and then you'll do what you're talking about, actually go back and try to fix a lot of the issues. For those people, for those listeners who are not familiar with modding, basically it involves a programmer crafting a an addition to the game. Like, say, a good example would have been like having Darth Vader in Fallout New Vegas. You actually create another character that's not even part of the game, and you insert this code into the game, and the game recognizes it as another character of the game, even though if you look for Darth Vader in any Fallout New Vegas, you're not going to see one. That's because you have to get this special thing called a mod, which adds to the game, hence the term mod as in modification. And there's different mods. Like I said, some enhance weapons, some add other characters. And I remember one that added on like a whole new adventure to, I think they're Fallout 1 or 2, where the infamous Fallout 3. Well, there's a Fallout 3 that Bethesda produced, and there's a Fallout 3 that Interplay produced that was never, and never saw the light of day. The Fallout 3 that Interplay produced never saw the light of day, and it was their production. So they finally produced it in. As a, well, not as a mod, this is how it was produced. And like my guest Dale Thomas has said, yes, Bethesda has been receptive to modders in the past, but now with Fallout 76, they've just been strangely cold. And Dale, how many have you experienced bugs with Fallout 3, with Fallout 4? How about even Elder Scrolls Skyrim or Oblivion or Daggerfall? Have you could you how many Bethesda games have you experienced bugs with?
Virtually with all of them, and it's become kind of part of Bethesda's brand. They realize that there are bugs in their games, and the problem is they rarely take steps towards fixing these bugs. And like I said, the mod community has grown so much just around fixing the bugs and making the playing time for other players more fun. And I think that if Bethesda buckled down and worked harder to fix these problems, then they would probably sell many more units and they would definitely get a lot more love back from their fan base. But I don't understand why they're just so.
Yeah, me too. We didn't really go into much detail on it, but I'd like to kind of touch on this game a little bit. You mentioned you're a fan of the Elder Scrolls series. What can you tell us about Skyrim?
Oh, Skyrim. That is a whole new can of worms right there. Skyrim is, I can't decide if it's my favorite or second favorite game. It almost ties with Oblivion. I can't decide which one I like more. I like Oblivion because you could actually create your own magical spells in that one, and I also liked Skyrim because there was just so much to do. Excuse me. It had a massive map to explore, and that's another big draw for fans of Bethesda Softworks games is these huge maps. And everywhere you go, there's something different. No two places are exactly alike because all the outdoor areas and all the dungeons, they're all handcrafted. And that's one of the big things that I really love about Bethesda because their attention to detail is insane. And I liked Skyrim because it offered a good challenge and it excuse me. There were a lot of places to explore and to build, and it was just a great story. And there's a multiple different ways to play out the main story, and that's another big draw. The multiple endings for many of their games is what gives Bethesda games so much replay value in general. As for Skyrim, I like the fact that you finally get to see dragons in this game. They've been hinting about dragons in the Elder Scrolls universe since the first game, but up until now, you never actually see one. And it was
Interesting.
pretty cool to finally meet them, finally fight some of them, and you can even have conversations with a wide number of them. There's like four or five different dragons that you can talk to at length. And Bethesda has even created an entire language just based on the dragons and what they speak. And I thought that was a very interesting mechanic that they put in there.
That is an interesting mechanic. Do you know the names of any of the dragons in Skyrim that you could talk to?
Let's see. Can I find my player's guide? There is one at the top of the throat of the world, Parthenax. There is another dragon in the Soul Cairn. You can even capture a dragon at a place called Whiterun and talk to him, and he will actually take you to a new area of the map that you normally couldn't get to without his help. It's kind of like, yeah, it's a whole new map, and it's kind of like the way you played Fallout 4, right? And you've gone to Far Harbor and Nuka World. Well, in this place, it's a map that exists outside of Skyrim, but it still carries on the main storyline.
Right. It's a DLC.
Well, not quite a DLC. I mean, it's
Which
part
a
of.
DLC, hold on just a minute now.
Right.
A DLC is what we typically call an expansion pack. It's a another adventure that adds on to the main game. It's optional, you don't have to play it, but it does make the game even more interesting. It goes even further in depth. Skyrim has these, Fallout 4. See, Skyrim has Dragonborn, with some more, Hearthfire, which I've heard that was a pretty bad one. What's some other
Yeah.
ones that were good, Daniel?
Dawnguard, which is my personal
Dawnguard.
favorite. Yes. It creates
Yes.
two new factions, which includes a new group of vampires and a group of vampire hunters. And that one was a lot of fun to play. Also, DLC. The term DLC stands for downloadable content, and it can
Right.
be a wide variety of things like new maps and new items, just anything you want. And speaking of which, one of these DLCs is called Fallout Miami. It's the reason why I'm thinking about buying another copy of Fallout 4, this time for my PC, because it is supposed to be a massive new map to play in that takes place in Miami, Florida, in the Fallout universe, and it looks incredible. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and look up Fallout Miami and keep your eyes on the Nexus. You should see it, and hopefully by the end of the year.
Okay, will do. Also, real quick, I was going to touch on get back to Skyrim real fast. There's different factions in Skyrim. There's the Rebels. There's the Empire, and then you even have all the different races. And basically, the one constant you see in the Elder Scrolls series is the Empire. Am I correct, Daniel?
Yes, absolutely.
And the Empire has been a constant, and you get to see it evolve over time. And but shifting gears back to Skyrim, I'm not back to Skyrim, but back to Fallout. You've done several Twitch broadcasts about Fallout 4, am I right?
Yes, I have.
And I highly advise anyone who might be interested in playing Fallout 4, you really need to go on Daniel Thomas's Twitch broadcast and see all the different Twitch broadcasts he's done of Fallout 4. He's done one of Nuka World, Fallout 4 in general, Far Harbor. He's really done a lot.
Yes.
I'll let you go into some detail about that, Daniel.
Let's see. My throat. Anyway, as I was trying to say, to add on to what he's saying, I've also done a complete playthrough of the Automatron DLC and any story DLC you can imagine is on there. Just to give you a brief rundown of what each one are like, the Automatron DLC was the first one that came out. I thought it could have sat in the oven a little while longer, but it was a lot of fun. It allowed me to build my own robot companions, and it also allowed me to upgrade Codsworth, who's your robot companion in the vanilla game.
Right.
The Far Harbor DLC was hands down my personal favorite because of the dark and gritty atmosphere. It reminded me a
Oh, yes.
lot of what was that DLC in Fallout 3 that took place in a swampy island area?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's Point Lookout.
Point Lookout. Thank you. Thank you. And it added on to one of the rarely seen factions called the Children of Atom. It's a group of people that literally worship radiation. I
Yes.
guess they figure if you can't beat it, join it.
You
And
first see the oh, wait just a minute. Oh. real point of clarification, the Children of Atom you first encounter in Fallout 3, and you see them when you're in Megaton, and they're worshiping this radiation of coming out of this bomb in Megaton. And also Megaton, you have the option whether or not to detonate the bomb or not. But anyway, go ahead. Go ahead, Daniel. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And the children of Adam have they've advanced from the Capital Wasteland, and they're slowly spreading across the American Eastern Coast, and they're becoming somewhat of a pain, to tell you the truth. But you have the option, again, you have the option of either helping them or destroying them in this DLC. After that, there's also the Vault DLC. I can't remember the name of it right off the bat, but you actually find a vault that is incomplete in the Commonwealth. And your job here in the DLC is to build it up and turn it into a community where people can live in. And you perform a couple of experiments on the residents of the vault,
Could you
as
tell us what a
pleasing
few of those experiments are?
to. Some of the experiments are creating a never-ending supply of electricity by hooking up a exercise bike to a generator, and you can decide, you can either gas the person who is on the bike to make them want to pedal faster, or give them a small amount of buff out to make them pedal harder, or you can do neither of those things and be humane about it and just let them create electricity naturally. Other experiments are what is it called? Creating a eye examining station that bombards the people with subliminal messaging, such as obey the overseer and Vault Tech is your friend, and things like that. The big challenge, however, is clearing the place out, because the vault area that you're in has become resident to some rather unsavory creatures. There are death claws, there is a whole horde of rad scorpions, and several nests slam full of these little burrowing creatures called mole rats, which have become the bane of my existence. Well, they would have if it wasn't for the rad scorpions. And that one. I really got into my element when I was playing that DLC. I cracked a lot of good jokes, and I learned a couple of new features on YouTube, like how to put in captions. So you'll see when I'm fighting the Death Claw, I shoot the Death Claw with a Fat Man, which is a miniature nuclear missile launcher, and I hit it square in the head, and it still kept coming at me. And I put in a caption. I said, "Wow, he took a fat man to the face and kept coming." And I put in a caption that said, "Insert gay joke here," or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But
For listeners out there, could you describe what Death Claw is?
oh, a death claw. Yes. A death claw is a creature that basically sums up how dangerous the North American wasteland is. It's a direct descendant of the Jackson Chameleon. And this is one of several creatures that's actually been created through a substance called the FEV, or Forced Evolutionary Virus. I was thinking
I
about
recall there's another insect that was there's another pest that was, well, not a pest, but another creature that was created as a result of the FEV, and it was called the Cazador. Could you kind of do you remember much about the Cazadors, and can you kind of describe us
Yes.
briefly about them?
The The Cazador, or Cazador, depending on how you pronounce it, is actually a creature based on real life. It is the Arizona Cote something, some word in Spanish that starts with C. It's a type of wasp that is essentially, it was spliced between this wasp and a hairy tarantula. The Cazador, or Kizador, however you want to pronounce it, is incredibly fast. It has a bug, no pun intended, connected to it, where no matter how high your poison resistance is, this pest is guaranteed to poison you. It hits like an absolute truck, has more hit points than it needs, attacks you in swarms, can see you from miles away, even in the dark, and it moves in a wild, erratic pattern that makes it difficult to get a bead on. Any Fallout player that you meet will tell you that the Cazador is the bane of your existence. And what's worse, if you've fought at a major battle, if you've taken out a major raider hideout, for example, they have a nasty habit of nesting. And the next time you come by that old bandit hideout, the place is going to be crawling with them. So I'd suggest you quite literally choose your battles carefully while you're out there in the Mojave Wasteland, ladies and gentlemen.
And also, I believe they were created in a place called Big Mountain that you can go to the Old World Blues DLC.
They are. They're created from a experiment by a robo-brain called Dr. O. Like all, a robo-brain is basically a human brain put inside a jar full of preservative fluid, and it is used as a CPU for a robot. It has a consciousness, it has an actual AI that is based on the person who used to have the brain. And Dr. O, like all the other brains in the Big Mountain area, well, the preservation fluid doesn't work so well after 200 years, and his brain has begun to deteriorate. And all the robo brains in Big Mountain are, well, they're kind of quirky. They've all got a bizarre personality of one type or another, or one extreme or another. They're all completely insane, but unfortunately, they're the only things that can help you get out of that place. So follow their instructions, but use caution and follow their instructions with a pinch of salt. Is what I'll say about
For listeners out there, the Old World Blues DLC has a lot of scientists who have chosen to discard their bodies for some reason and live only through their brains. Much like in as a rubber brain, as my guest Daniel Thomas has described. Also, doesn't the Cazador have an eastern cousin in the Commonwealth, the Stingwing, I think?
No, that's a separate creature altogether.
Ah.
The Cazador was created by splicing a mud wasp and a hairy tarantula together, whereas the Stingwing is basically a mutated dragonfly.
But both have poison though, right?
Yes, both of them are very poisonous and they're fast flyers. But I still think the Cazador is slightly more obnoxious.
I
Just
would
my
agree
opinion.
with that. I would agree with that. Well, thank you, Daniel. This has been an excellent podcast today, and thank you for being on my show. And like I said, remember to check out my friend Daniel Thomas's Twitch broadcast. He's done an excellent job of the Fallout games and several other games as well. And I really suggest you check out his Twitch channel.
Can I interrupt you just for a second?
Sure.
If you're looking for any of my playthroughs on Fallout 4 or any games for that matter, it's on YouTube right now. Twitch erases all my broadcasts after 30 days, but they are still on my YouTube channel. And my YouTube channel is Bonzai0311. That's capital Bonzai 0311. And yes, I misspelled the word bonsai on purpose. It was kind of a joke when I first started playing PlayStation. And anyway, it's basically become my universal gamer tag. It's the same as it is on Twitch and on Steam. Just go to my YouTube channel and it's all there.
All right.
And
Well, thank you for being a guest on my podcast today, Daniel, and we look to having you on in the future as well.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. All right. This is Seth with guest Daniel Thomas signing off.
And
Enjoy your games.
I will see you in the next playthrough. Later.
That's right.